Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women. I'm your host, Mary Jolkowski, an author, speaker, and all-around self-love advocate. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself. Hello, self-lover. Before we dive into today's podcast episode, I want to make sure you know about my two books on self-love. If you're struggling with body image or self-acceptance, then I highly recommend you check out my first book, The Gift of Self-Love. It's a comprehensive workbook to help you build confidence, recognize your worth, and learn to love who you are. Thousands of people have this book, and the 5-star reviews are so amazing. They give me so much life. So I hope that this is something that can help you too. You can get it wherever books are sold by searching for The Gift of Self-Love or go to my website, maryscupoftea.com/book. After releasing The Gift of Self-Love and reading all your positive feedback, I realized that we really needed something to keep us going every single day. So not a deep dive workbook, but maybe like a micro dose of self-love in your daily life, which is why I wrote 100 Days of Self-Love. It's a guided journal with, you guessed it, 100 prompts that cover so many areas of life, including body, identity, purpose, emotions, mindset, relationships, and more. So you can really think of it as a metaphor multivitamin, something to keep you going, or as I like to say, growing on your self-love journey. You can get this journal wherever books are sold as well by searching for 100 Days of Self-Love or go to maryscupoftea.com/journal. It's my mission to share all the self-love tea with you, so I hope that both my books and this podcast can do just that. Okay, quick question for you. Would you consider yourself an organized person? What about those with whom you live? I am on this organizing slash redecorating. It's like another phase of nesting kick for me. And I'm trying to just make my household a place where I can easily find everything, feel at ease and comfortable, and also creatively inspired. But in the hustle and bustle of life, many households frequently face daily stress and financial hiccups and time crunches, and often those are aggravated by a lack of organization in the home. That's why today we are talking to Nikki Boyd, who is a professional organizer. She's the founder of athomewithnikki.com and also the author of a book called Beautifully Organized at Home, and she helps bring order in homes around the world. Her business, blog, and her YouTube channel, she has over 500,000 followers, and her videos are so helpful with tips and hacks for organizing your house, which we also talk about today. What began as a hobby for Nikki is now a successful home organizing business, a blog, YouTube channel, thousands of readers coming to her site for creative and straightforward ways to beautifully organize their homes. So in this conversation, we talk about A, ways to communicate with those you live with to ensure a more harmonious household flow. 2 places in one's home that tend to cause stress. I wonder if you can guess what these 2 places are and if you can relate. And also we talk about, or Nikki gives us hacks for organizing your house and making it feel like a sanctuary. Just remember that your home should feel like almost like a vacation from the outside world. So why wouldn't you make it into a place that feels rejuvenating? I really enjoyed this conversation with Nikki Boyd because it was selfishly motivated, as so many of my podcasts are, and I hope you do. Make sure to also go to Nikki Boyd's YouTube channel. She's at Home with Nikki on YouTube, Instagram. You can check out her organizing services on her website, athomewithnikki.com. And you can get her book, Beautifully Organized, which I gave to one of my girlfriends as a housewarming gift. It makes a beautiful coffee table book and just great for your own personal pleasure. And you can get that. I linked it in the description, or search for it wherever you like to shop for your books. So please enjoy this fun, organized conversation. Well, I don't know if I'm very organized with the conversation, but this fun conversation about organizing with Nikki Boyd. Welcome to our self-love podcast. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Mary. I'm so glad to be here. Excited to be here.
Nikki, I've given your book to a friend of mine, recently bought a new house. So it's like a perfect housewarming gift. And this was about actually almost 2 years ago this May that she had bought her house. And I went over just a couple weeks ago and your book is displayed on her coffee table. Aww. And she had an interior designer like come and put together her little condo. So I guess the interior designer thought that your beautiful, beautifully organized at home book was worthy enough. I know it is. But it just looks so lovely there.
Oh, that made my day. Love it. Love it.
It's true. I'll send you a photo next time I'm over. I want to dive right in to your passion for organization, because that's obviously why you're here. And I'm curious, like, why? Just why? It seems like it's almost an act of self-love for you, which is why I thought this would be so aligned. So how did you get into it? And how did you realize that it just makes you feel better in some way?
Well, first I will say I was not always that way. I was that messy kid growing up, right? So organization was not always my thing. But when I became an adult and, you know, had my own space that I had to pay for and, you know, I had more love for it and I was just so invested in it. And so that's where the spark happened. But it truly began as a military spouse, because oftentimes throughout my husband's career, we were traveling around the world and we had very limited notice of when we would have to move. He'd come in the house and say, hey, we're moving overseas in 2 months. And so it was really important for me to get in and set up a beautiful home environment to really help us transition, because there were so many stress and so many times where, you know, my husband just kind of dropped us off in a country or a place and then he got deployed. And I needed an environment that really kind of kept the family going. And so organizational was key. It was key to know how to quickly and efficiently pack up a house, unpack a house. We only stayed places 3 years at a time. So, you know, you really didn't have a lot of time to settle in. And so I really honed in on skills to be efficient.
I'm really glad you highlighted that it was first and foremost for you, because I think people, when they see nicely styled, organized homes in like a magazine or on a video, it really does feel like it's not practical to live in. Like, it might look good on a photo, but it's not practical to live in. And I watch your YouTube videos extensively and you're living in that house.
Yes, yes. And it's important that, like you said, first, it needs to be about you and your love for your home, because your home is your rejuvenation space. You know, we go out into this crazy world and when we come home, that's where we're getting rejuvenated. Yes, we like to have a beautiful home to have company over and do things like that. But ultimately, you want a space that really is going to feed your soul and to relax you and to just kind of, you know, help you settle a little bit. So it's really important.
Yeah, for sure. How did organization help you in terms of like, what difference did it make in your life when it came to moving or even just like running the household day to day? I'm assuming that was your responsibility.
Well, it's all family. Sometimes we take the lead in our family, but I 100% believe that everyone that lives in the homes needs to take responsibility within the home, you know? And for me, organization is about saving you time, saving you money, and reducing your stress. And when we look at it from how it can really affect us as a person, it really changes kind of, it can change how you think about having to do those things in your home and make it easier to kind of do that laundry or to set the systems up, you know?
Yeah. Wait, I understand time and stress, but talk to me about how it saves you money.
A lot of times working with clients, I'll see someone who has a disorganized space. And if you've ever had this moment where you went out and purchased something else because you knew you had it at home, but you just couldn't find it. Well, that's money that could be in the vacation fund versus, you know, kind of going out and investing there, along with, you know, being efficient allows you to really not have to go out and always feel like you have to purchase things or get stuff. You know, every time we go out in the store and we feel like we have to get stuff to make us happy, that's costing us money where that's not necessarily where our money needs to go, you know?
Okay. What I'm hearing you say is that like having clutter in your home creates clutter in your mind, and you're trying to solve that clutter with something that's like quick, easy, that you can buy at Target, but then you come back to the same messy home and maybe the same messy mind.
Yes. And then I've seen where You know, because you're living in clutter and your mind is cluttered. And then when you go to make decisions about even organizing your home, you're not making the smartest decisions. I had a client one time where she was trying to organize her pantry and she was immediately getting ready to go out and to Target and buy all these new organizers. But she had everything in her home that she needed to make it happen. And sometimes it's about opening up that creativity within us to say, hey, you know what? Okay, that is a vase, but why can't it hold my kitchen spoons? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we have right at our fingertips what we need to really bring peace and order in our lives.
Oh my gosh, I'm like thinking about the vase that I have sitting. It's like a glass vase. Yeah. I've only ever used it for flowers. And now I'm thinking, why isn't it holding my kitchen utensils?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of kitchen, that's one of the two places that cause me the most stress when they're disorganized. Kitchen and closet. What would you say is like what you see most common? I know you talk about kitchen spaces quite a bit, but am I alone in the closet chaos?
No. I think the closet I hear all the time. Everyone struggles with the closet space. And I don't know that I've even run into anyone who said that they've worn everything in their closet, you know? So we consume and we have more than we even use. And so we're living amongst stuff that we don't even use or want. You know, and so it's taken up our valuable real estate. But when it comes to the kitchen, it's just so much stuff. It's the things, right? Because we have to have our spoons mm-hmm. and our plates and our appliances. And so it's how do I curate a beautiful kitchen that does not drive me crazy? And so this spring, I do encourage folks to really, you know, when we look at those spaces that have a lot of stuff, to just really take your time and break it down into smaller tasks. Because if you look at the whole picture, Mary, it feels mm-hmm. overwhelming, right? If you go in your kitchen and you're like, okay, I don't know where to start. And so just start with a drawer. What folks call that junk drawer. I don't like saying junk drawer because you should never call anything in your home junk, right? It's your utility drawer. And so just taking that drawer and just kind of pulling everything out and putting back in only what you want to use. So just taking it piece by piece instead of looking at the whole entire kitchen.
Okay. The utility drawer. What yes. do you do if you've organized the utility drawer many times over, and somehow it only takes a couple of weeks, if that, maybe even a couple of days, to become more assembly-led junk drawer? How do you like keep it? And in particular, I brought up, you know, my kitchen, my closet, but of course, like those spaces aren't just mine. I cohabitate with my spouse and neither of us are particularly messy. It's not that we're actually both very clean people individually, but I think living together, we have different flows, we have different routines, work schedules, and sometimes they conflict and, you know, create somebody to leave dishes in the sink thinking I'll do it later, but then I'm working from home and I have to see it all day and vice versa. So what do you do to kind of, I feel like this is now relationship therapy, but just manifested into home organization.
Well, you know, the secret weapon that I tell everyone to organization is communication within your home, whether it's just you in your home or you and your spouse, or you have 10 kids, who it doesn't matter, it's your home. And so it's just like a business. And if you have a business and you have all these team members coming in every day, but no one meets, no one talks to each other, everyone has their own agenda, it's hard to meet the common goal of the business. And that's the same in our home. You know, everyone has a different schedule. We're coming in, we're going, and we're missing each other and we're catching each other here. So it's important to have that one corner of time each week that's consistent. Consistency is important, that we communicate so that we can knock out those important family and relation things and just check in on each other. One of the biggest things that I believe in is family meetings every week, you know, even if it's just 15 to 30 minutes, and the time to just sit down and discuss the same things each week. And one, just quickly do a check-in. You okay? What was your tough part of your week? You know, because a lot of times we're busy and we can't check in with each other. And then the next thing is meal planning. I feel like for so many people, that is such a stressor every day. What are we having for dinner? You know, mm-hmm. I hate that question when I haven't planned what's for dinner. And then like, what are we going to do for dinner? Right. That's a stressor. But, you know, one thing you can do is have just a set meal inspiration list as a family. And it just has all your meal combinations that you all typically prepare. And then it's just plug and play. Every week at that meeting, you're just choosing, okay, this is what we're going to have for next week. You know, also talking about what are the needs for the house? Do we need toilet paper? Do we need paper towels? You know, just those little things that during the week can be stressors. You have 15 minutes to sit down or 30 minutes to sit down and really engage in that. And that's where it comes into what you said about the junk drawer that never comes up. Because a lot of times you'll go to that junk drawer, utility drawer, and you're frustrated because you know you're the one that organized it. And then you look and say, why is it like this again? You know? And so those meetings are a time where it's a structured time where you can discuss it when it's an optimal time to discuss it. Because sometimes when you're looking at it and you're upset about it, that's not really the time you should be discussing it. But knowing that every Sunday at 6 o'clock, we're going to talk, I'm going to mention the junk drawer, you know? And so it gives you the opportunity to really handle those things that are stressors during your week. So that's, to me, just sitting down, that communication is so key within a household to keep the organization in place. And I will say this, we can go out and look at Pinterest and have all these beautiful pantries, but it is not going to stay that way if we're not on the same page as a family.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, if it's like not functional for you personally in the way that you like eat and live and whatever else you're doing in the house.
Yes. It has to be realistic to you. Yeah.
I want to circle back to some like communication systems and things that you might do to be on the same page with whoever you're living with. But first, I had this thought, like, Nikki, if we were having this conversation, even I would say a year and a half, 2 years ago, right? And at that point, I was in a long-term relationship. We were together for like 3 or 4 years, just newly engaged, you know, living together as a couple. But we were definitely in the like exciting phase of our relationship, even though it's like 3-4 years in, it was still a place in our relationship where it was a lot easier to overlook somebody's like mess or flaws or not, you know, keeping up the junk drawer because you're all lovey-dovey. And I think this conversation is particularly important now that we're celebrating our 1 year marriage anniversary, been together 5 years. And like literally the other night, I was taking a selfie in my bedroom mirror. And behind in the mirror was reflected a pile of my husband's clothes. So I did this so not maliciously, very innocently. I just put them on the floor, like behind the bed, so they wouldn't be in my selfie. Yes. And I accidentally forgot about them and I left them there, right? And then later that night, our dog came over to that exact same spot and made a nest, like a bed for himself in my husband's clothes. And our dog is dirty. He needs a bath. And so Stan looks at me and he's like, I know you're trying to make a statement, you know, my clothes are everywhere. And I'm like, truthfully, like I wasn't trying to make a statement. I just forgot. I was just doing my selfie, whatever. But I can see how as the years go on, resentment can build, even though we can brush it off now. You know, 4 years ago, it wouldn't even have been a thought. It would be like, it's so cute, the dog's laying on my clothes. But then 3 years later, you're trying to make a statement. And now I'm forecasting to 10 years later to, why did you put my clothes on the floor, blah, 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 whatever, and then it turning into something. So this is why I'm really grateful for this conversation at this point in time, and specifically for those people who are living with somebody that they might not necessarily be like infatuated, lusting after, in love with 24/7.
Absolutely. And I would tell anyone who is newly married, my husband and I have been together 22 years, and I wish I would have taken my own advice when we first got married, but, because the road would have been easier to adjust. But, you know, start out with conversating and having those 15 minutes and like setting the tone early on, because like you said, it's all great in the beginning, but it's harder to kind of set standards deep into the relationship and kind of be on the same page when you get off of the same page, right? Yeah. And so I think it's important, and it's the same for our home, because we are living together and we're in it together. And so it's important to have our environment be a part of the conversation. It's not anything that's just overnight or that's easy, because just like with a marriage, you grow into each other, and the way your marriage is today is not the way your marriage is going to be 10 years from now, or even 20 years from now. And so it's about, you know, growing and evolving and giving each other grace as we learn this, you know, how we're going to cohabitate together. So it is definitely a process.
About 3 years ago, I started putting together a playlist with uplifting, inspiring, and empowering songs. I originally did this for myself because I love music of all different genres, and every time I would notice a song that just made me feel good, I would add it to my self-love playlist. And now there are over 300 songs on my Spotify self-love playlist. And these tracks are perfect for when you're getting ready, trying to hype yourself up, or going through a struggle and need a reminder for how badass you are. If you love music as much as I do, then go to maryscupoftea.com/playlist to get the Spotify link. It will ask you for your email so that I can send you this self-love playlist. And full transparency, this will also put you on my email list where I send out a monthly newsletter about stuff I'm thinking about, personal things, things I don't really share on social media, and all the happenings in the Mary's Cup of Tea world. So go to maryscupoftea.com/playlist and let's start jamming to my self-love playlist together.
What are some systems that have worked for your family? Because we're a Google Calendar family. We have a shared Google Calendar. Yeah. We have tried to get into a routine of like Sundays cleaning, though that gets easily violated sometimes. And I also have this like calendar Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday pasted on my refrigerator, but I've not written on it in about 3.5 months. So yes. In terms of like meal planning, or sometimes when I watch like the fancy YouTube videos, these couples yes. are like using a Notion project management software to like organize their house. And I just don't know if that could be sustainable for like average people, us muggles over here. So what's worked for you?
Yeah. Simple, you know, everybody works differently. And so you have to do what works for you. But one thing across the board that always works is simplicity. And knowing my husband is not going to be that digital calendar kind of guy. And so I know for us, it's about, okay, as far as the house, we live in our house. And it's a house where every day we need to do something. And so one thing that works for me is we do a 5-minute sweep every day. So 9 o'clock, we turn on the music or turn on the TV show, whatever, and we just walk around and whatever 5 minutes we can do, we do. Whether it's wipe down the counter, put the remote back. And that 5 minutes with the two of us is actually 10 minutes of house cleaning, which every day of the week of 10 minutes, that's, you know, that's a lot of time by the end of the week. And so it's not anything that's detailed or requires a lot, but it helps maintain the home. So just 5 minutes, even before you go to bed, just say, hey, let's do our 5-minute sweep. And it's just not even having to say it at this point. It's just about, it becomes a part of your routine, just like brushing your teeth at night and, mm-hmm. and doing that. You just do your sweep before you head to the bedroom. And so that's something that's really simple and easy to do. And another thing, as far as keeping with kind of family schedules and things like that, visual is often good, but it has to still be something that everyone is realistically going to look at. You know what I'm saying? So you can do a beautiful calendar, but if that's not what works for you and your family, your husband's not going to pay attention to it, then that's really not the one way to go. It may be something that's more like using your phone, your Google Calendar, your phone, and just making sure you set the alerts. It may be my husband, he's a little old school. I have to have my calendar and I have to call him to remind him about whatever it is that I want to make sure that happens. So there is no right way. There's so many different tips and different things that you can do, but it has to fit you and your husband. It has to fit you and mm-hmm. your family. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It really doesn't. It doesn't have to be fancy. For me, we love the forget-me-not basket because we're a little on the older side. So when I'm leaving the house, like if there's a paper that needs to go with me, it has to be on that door handle so that I don't forget to go get it up. So we have a basket that we hang on the door, and anything that we need as we're walking out the door, we just toss it in that basket, whether it's your keys or whatever it is, because you have to hit mm-hmm. that door handle to get out. So you're automatically going to be engaged with that. So just little things of knowing how we work, we put things in place, little tools and things in place for that.
Yeah. Is the 5-minute sweep in the morning or 9 a.m. or p.m.?
We do it p.m. at night
you
before
bed.
Before we go. Yeah. Yeah. And another thing is to think about organization as a part of your life, not necessarily something you have to do. So for example, if you're in the bedroom and you have a glass of water, you know, as you get up during commercial break and you're going to the kitchen, what can you pick up and take to the kitchen? So as we're living in our environment, just kind of incorporating picking up as we go along, sometimes you don't feel like you're cleaning up or organizing at the time. Like when you wash dishes, you know, incorporate organization. Say, okay, every night that I do the dishes, I'm going to reset one drawer in my kitchen. Because once the drawers are all reset, it's not reorganizing, it's just maintenance. So just incorporating a little organization into our movement really just helps keeps everything maintained.
Yeah. And it makes it less like of a dread.
Yeah.
About a year ago, we had a guest on the show. Her name is Eve Rodsky, and she talked about this concept of fair play in terms of household management. And basically, the big idea is how women often take on a lot of the emotional labor in a specifically a hetero relationship. So I'm curious if you've ever felt that burden, especially because this is like what you do for a living and it's your passion. And it seems like you're the driving force behind, say, organization. And I would say, like, with me and my husband, I'm the driving force behind difficult conversations. And sometimes I'm like, can you please just start a conversation? Do you ever look at your husband and think, can you please organize the utility drawer? You know, because it's one thing to like upkeep or to get the friendly reminder phone calls, but it's another thing to initiate. So I'm curious how you, because you said at the beginning something really beautiful about how, gosh, your words were so much better, but how it's like a partnership that you've established from the beginning, and it's the flow of your household.
Yes, definitely. As a woman, you know, we sometimes the control factor is there, and oftentimes it causes us to take the lead. So for me, being a military spouse, and oftentimes I was the head of the household because I was the only one there. My husband deployed a lot during his military career, and so it causes me to still take on a lot of the responsibility when it comes to the home as far as initiating it. Because if I don't, my husband is not going to say a thing. Like, he's going to sit back. If we don't do the family meeting, he'll be all right. He's not going to mention it, you know. But for me, knowing the importance of having a well-ran home for my peace, you know, it's important for me to say what I need to say because it affects me, you know. And so, do I feel ownership of taking on all the responsibilities? No. But do I feel like I'm going to be the lead in initiating? Yes, I do. And the wonderful thing that I will say is I feel like over the years, over the 22 years we've been together, we have come to a very happy medium of, even if I say it, it's like just a reminder for him. He's going to do it. He's going to fold the clothes. You know, he's involved in laundry and all those things. Now, he may not be on point with it all the time, but he is involved with it. And I can say in the beginning of our marriage, I more so carried that load. But now I don't feel like that's the case at all. So again, it goes back to as we grow as a couple and as we grow our home and as we grow our systems and our love for each other, you know, we give each other that respect to really pull our part in the home. So, and don't get me wrong, it is not an easy road.
Well, it seems like you created systems that make it at least easier, even if they're not 100% easy for both of you. They're easier. And I also think sometimes, you know, don't forget to stop at the store on your way home. It's almost like a little love language because it's almost like a different way of saying, like, I can't wait to get back together with, or I don't know, sometimes it'll be cream for my coffee. Like, don't forget to get cream for my coffee. And the follow-up unspoken thing is because I can't wait to have coffee together tomorrow morning, right? So sometimes it's, it depends like how we deliver it and where we're at in the relationship too, right?
And being transparent, you know, sometimes you'll see in the home, there's a lot of sarcasm, like, oh, there goes the socks on the floor again. Instead of truly communicating that really upsets me when the socks are on the floor. So really just being transparent, not only about what you're feeling, but how we can solve the problem. Because that's one thing I've learned with my husband. I can't just vent to him what's frustrating me. I have to vent to him how I feel the problem could be solved and just what would make it better for me. And so I think a lot of times we kind of look at things, we are frustrated by things and we see things and we overlook things because we don't want to bicker or this and that. But it's important to choose the right time to really convey the things that affect us in our home, that bother us in our home. Because again, that's your space also, it's his space. And so you want to be sure to have that ability to openly communicate about things so that it doesn't sit and fester, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what the weekly meetings could be for, right?
Absolutely. And I have found that it's beautiful in the fact that it takes the edge off, because sometimes when you communicate about difficult things in the moment, or, you know, when they just got home from work and they're tired, it just mm-hmm. doesn't come off as well. But when you have that structured time where the purpose is for us to discuss these things, you know, why little Johnny keeps throwing his towel on the floor, and put in accountability, you know, fun accountability for the family. If so-and-so doesn't do this, then they have to do my load of laundry. Or you can put in fun aspects to running your home, but it's important to have that time to really communicate those things. And also, I don't know if you guys are planning to have kids or have kids yet, but as you bring kids into it, it's a whole different situation. And these family meetings are great a way to teach kids how to communicate. You know, this is how, when we have problems, we communicate. This is how you communicate when you go out into this world. It's also an opportunity to teach life skills, you know, how to load the dishwasher. You can even go say, okay, I'm gonna teach you how to pump gas this week. This is a part of our family home meeting. So mm-hmm. it's an opportunity as a family to teach different life skills to kids, or even to each other. You know, Mike has taught me how to change a light switch, you know, different things. So it's a great opportunity to learn from each other also.
Yeah. Do your family meetings happen at the same time, same place every week, or?
Yes. Yes. We like to do our 6 p.m. on Sundays, because Sundays it's a relaxing day, and it's right before we go into our work week. And so we find 6 p.m. on Sundays is just kind of ideal. We don't always hit that mark, but we do try to have it, you know, every Sunday at 6.
And like, what happens Sunday 5:55? Does everybody gather in a room? Are we meeting someplace outside the house? Or like, logistically, what happens?
Oh, no, it's very casual. We could be sitting on the sofa, because he has his sofa, I have mine. And we just sit there laying there talking about it. Very informal. It doesn't have to be sitting at the table. It can be. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we incorporate it with our meals. It's more about what we're talking about than kind of where we're at, or the structure, you know, being, mm-hmm. you know, in a certain place, but just having that conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. You have so many tricks up your sleeve. I just know it. So like, let's talk about kitchen and closet, since those are the two places that I think us ladies in general just need a little bit more structure. And also, I think you had a video, I don't remember how long it was, but it was something about your purse. And that really caught my eye, because I change my purse maybe a couple times a week, or depending on what the outfit. And it leads to, like, I can't find my car keys, and it's a whole meltdown. Yeah. So I would love to know some of your, let's go kitchen, closet, purse.
Okay, sure. So kitchen it's one of my favorite places, because I love little dishes and little teacups and all those things. So it's one of my favorite places. But one tip that I encourage people to do a lot of times, because sometimes we don't have like large spaces. And so, okay, this drawer has to be this and this has to be that. But a drawer can be several different things. So just like your utility drawer, right? You can have pins in it. You can have tape in it. You know, your regular kitchen drawers can be that. So you can have one drawer, and part of where I keep my spoons, part is where I keep my dish towels. And it can be really beautifully organized with all of those things efficiently in one drawer. So that's one thing. The other thing that I like to share is canisters. I love, love, love canisters, because they can sit on the counter and look beautiful, but they are just as functional as a drawer. You can have a canister as your junk drawer. So instead of taking up all that valuable real estate in a drawer, use a canister and put those pins and that lighter and those things that you grab all the time in a beautiful canister that's no one knows the difference. It's sitting on your counter, but it looks absolutely beautiful. Another tip is for my mommies out there. If you have little ones, a lot of times you have those sippy cups and all of those, you know, different little pieces. And then you try to put them in a drawer, or you try to put them in a cabinet, and it's aesthetically, it feels overwhelming because it's all of these things and you're losing lids. Well, a beautiful basket is the perfect way to store these and then put it in your cabinet, so that when you open your cabinet, all you're seeing is the beautiful basket, that when you pull it down, you have everything in one place, and it just really keeps things looking beautiful, but it keeps it efficient for you to be able to get to the things, you know. And then also to feed off of that, you know, we have our to-go containers. And one thing that's often a frustration for a lot of folks is they can't find the lids to their containers, and they can't figure out how to organize it. And it's simple. Keep them together. Always keep the lid with the bottom and stack them in the cabinet. And then lastly, in the kitchen, I would say a great tip is to just think about how you and your family function in the kitchen and create those things that speak to you. Like if you like having your tea in the morning, have a little tea station set up so that you have that go-to place in the morning, or you have a breakfast station for your family so that they have that go-to place to go and just fix a quick and easy breakfast on the go. So think about what are those stations I can create in my kitchen to really help us have a nice flow to our morning.
I like the idea of stations. I also like that you're pro using counter space, because I think right now a lot of people are trying to get everything off their counter. And again, that's just not livable.
We have a counter to be able to use it, you know? And so, of course, we don't want to clutter it with everything, but we want to have it so that it functions for us.
Yeah, yeah. My friend Zoe, she was recently diagnosed with ADHD as an adult, and she realized that one of the ways that shows up for her is that when she's working from home, she's like a screenwriter. So she's like writing in her office. She's like, I forget to eat. I'm either like snacking all day long, not getting any work done, or I forget to eat because I'm just like so into my project. So instead of keeping all her snacks in the pantry, you know, like different bars and fruits and whatever, she made herself a snack drawer where she emptied all the bars. She put in all the little, you know, packaged whatever, organized them into little drawer containers. So when she opens the drawer, she kind of has like this array of snacks at her disposal instead of even the extra step for her ADHD brain to like take them out of like a cardboard and like in the pantry. And that felt, the drawer felt just more accessible to her. And I love the idea of the snack drawer. So I translated that for me as a tea drawer. I was kind of sick of like the cabinet or the tea cabinet. So I made the teas all in the drawer so I can see any kind of tea that I possibly want, because that's like what I love.
And I love that you say that, Mary, because not only did you bring order into your home, but you brought joy into your life. I also wanted to say something about when you said she took the things out of the package. A lot of times, everything that we buy as far as food, they're packaged according to that company's brand. And sometimes mm-hmm. when you try to put that in your cabinet, if you think about teas, you buy the different teas. Each box is different, the can and box and different things like that. So if we can find ways to store our things in a uniformed way, it allows us to save space. So like you have a tea box, instead of having all the store-bought boxes, have one tea box that you decant your teas in, and it really saves you a lot of space. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So moving into our closet, which is not a place that usually brings me joy, how do you, like, what do you do about your closet, especially when you're sharing it with someone?
Yeah. Anytime I organize a space in my home, I'm always trying to get my mindset right. So when I think about a closet, that is my personal boutique. Like that is the place that I go that is made just for me and to take care of me. And even if I'm sharing it with my spouse, I'm going to just pretend like his side is invisible. And that I have this corner and this is my boutique on this corner, right? When I'm working with clients, I say, let's pretend like we work in your favorite store. Because stores have spent a lot of money on visual advertising. So when you come in, you're attracted to the stuff. And so let's translate that in home. Let's create a closet where you walk into your closet and you're drawn in and attracted to what you see and you want to shop it. And you want to be, because here's why it's important, because you can really get up in the morning and enjoy the process of getting ready and it doesn't frustrate you opening a closet and having shoes come out and just feeling, you know, like it's just overwhelming. And so one tip that I like to share a lot of times is the first thing that you need to do if you have chaos in your closet is to get everything sorted by like items and kind. Like if you're all your shirts together and then all your pants together. And then once you have that task done, organize it by color. The reason why is not for necessarily an aesthetic. It does help aesthetically, but it allows you to see your inventory. It's hard to see that I have 50 black blouses if they're just kind of all trickled through. You know, they can kind of disguise themselves. But by grouping them by color, it makes it easy for me to get ready in the morning because I know, okay, today I feel like it's a black shirt jean day. So I can just go to my black shirts. But also when I start accumulating too much, which is a big reason why we have cluttered closets, is I can clearly see that. I can clearly see when those black blouses are growing. So the other thing is I like for work week, organizing jewelry by color always helped me. I like the jewelry trays because you can sit them out on a table. I'm also having all my gold necklaces together, all my silver, because I knew what color I was going to wear when I got dressed. But being able to see them all together saved me time, because mm-hmm. that's one thing, Mary, that causes a lot of people stress in their home is that they're making too many decisions every morning, little decisions. But all those little decisions add up to stress by the time you walk out the door. I like to have, and not to switch gears too much off of the mm-hmm. closet, but I like to have an everyday caddy, and an everyday caddy has only what I use every day. Like, I could go in there blindfolded and I know everything I grab in that caddy, from the lipstick to, you know, the toothbrush or to whatever is in that caddy. And that saves me decisions of having to go to this drawer for this or this drawer for that. And it really just makes things more efficient during that kind of busy work week. So if one tip that I can share with your listeners is, think about all of the decisions that you make in a day, from getting dressed, going in your closet, picking this and pick, and how can you cut out some of those decisions? And that can really make your mornings go smoother. It may be even making your breakfast the night before so that you don't have to make a decision of what you're going to eat in the morning.
Well, just real quick, before we move on from this topic, I want to emphasize how important that is. I was up all night reading this 700-page book called Behave, and the subtitle is The Science of Humans at Our Best and at Our Worst. And the second chapter breaks down all the different parts of the brain and what they're in charge of. Not to get too technical into the neurobiology of it, but willpower is finite in your brain. I know somebody listening may feel like, okay, well, opening up a drawer to get my lipstick and opening up another drawer to get eyeliner is not a big deal. But like you said, those add up. Every single one adds up. I mean, this book outlines it like in an extraordinary capacity that it depletes you. It depletes your energy, your creativity. We start feeling more cranky. We don't have the energy to do and show up for the things that matter to us. So I really, really, really firmly believe that. I love the idea of a cat. Is a caddy like a tray or a basket? What's a caddy?
It can be a basket. It can be a makeup bag. It could be a Lazy Susan. You know, they have the Lazy Susans that kind of just spin around and you can sit on your bathroom counter and just have all of the things in it. And those are great, especially if you use like hairspray and you have like different sizes of things. It keeps everything kind of corralled together, so it can help. It's also great for spouses too, because if you have a spouse that just tends to put everything on the bathroom counters, just having an everyday caddy, that was a huge, huge transformation for my husband, having all of his things in that rotating caddy, because he tends to keep everything right there now. So yeah.
So good. So valuable. Okay, let's get back into the closet. I'm eating this up. And in there somewhere, could you mention if you do like a seasonal closet organization? Like, I'm not sure where you live.
Yeah. I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, you're in North Carolina. Okay.
I'm in North Carolina, but I am not a fan of switching out my closet every year from seasonal, because I feel like that's more decisions, more work. That's a task to change out things. And I would rather be sitting on my back patio with some sweet tea than than having to change out of the closet. And so what I like to more so have, and what I have, is just a year-round closet. And the reality, Mary, is that the world we live in now, it could be summer and we can go outside and see snow. You know, it's just so, you know what I'm saying? So that's you just never know. I can have on a t-shirt today, but need a sweater tomorrow. And so having a closet that is a year-round closet just makes sense. And our closets anyway, we consume more than we wear. And if we can just kind of pare down to what this one body can wear in 30 days, get it to where you can have a closet that has everything you need year-round. So I'm never a fan. When I work my clients, I always try to kind of curate a closet that's year-round.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, in Arizona, we have really extreme summers, but also, like, you know, I'm traveling, or right now it's mid-March and it's colder in the house than it is outside. So I'm sitting here in a cashmere sweater, even though I wouldn't be wearing that outside.
With the closet too, I think it's important that not only that all your things have a place, but even when we think about our hangers, if you ever go in your closet and you have like every different hanger in the world, and you think, okay, well, I'm just, you know, that doesn't matter. It's just a hanger. But it does, because it's what you visually see. And so what we want to cut down is, when we walk in our closet, if you have all the same color hanger, that eye is not so busy with all the different of what you're seeing, because the clothes provide enough variation in what we see. Another tip is, you know how you hang your pants over and you have the backside, which is the bulky part? Yeah. I always encourage folks to make sure that bulky part is hanging, that it's facing the back of your closet, and that straight line of your pants is facing the front. Because that little bulk, if you think about all your pants hanging up, that's, again, mm-hmm. more space, visual space that you're taking into your closets. And you'll notice a mm-hmm. lot of times when you go look in Pinterest and you see these beautiful closets, and they'll have the shirts hung beautifully on the top and then the pants on the bottom, because our shirts are on our top and our pants on our bottom. But I like to reverse that in our closet. If you have a two-bar system, always put your pants on the top, or your thin things on the top, and put your shirts on the bottom, because they are bulky. Like they protrude out more. So when you walk in your closet, you have air, you know, it's just open, because your pants are not going to take up that much space. So I like to reverse that, because little things like this, Mary, it makes a big difference. You don't think about it until you do it, yeah. but it makes a huge, huge difference.
I also have a lot more tops than I do bottoms.
So if you put them on the bottom, it does open up your closet. It'll open up the space that you walk into.
This is genius. I'm going to run after this and go do this. I want to see how it looks flip. That's something I didn't even consider. The top is usually, in my closet at least, it's a larger space.
Yes.
So yes. My pants graze the floor, but my shirts won't. They're shorter, so they probably...
They're shorter, yeah.
Yeah, won't. That would probably yeah. solve that problem. Okay.
Yeah. No.
I like this a lot. It seems to me that a lot of your... Dare I call them hacks? Are you good with that word?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. A lot of like your hacks and little tips, they're focused on not just functionality, though that's a big part, but the visual like look and feel. My listeners know that I've recently been really into home decor, because just home, anything in general, because like it's like a relationship. And I think you talked about this in a video, like you want to come to your home and feel soothed and feel comforted and feel relaxed, especially if, you know, you're having a busy day or a crazy work life. Is that like, am I correct in that assumption of like your intentions?
Yes. And it's just like you go on vacation. When you go on vacation, you want to have this beautiful experience and see this beautiful beach. And because it makes you feel great and just feel yeah. relaxed, right? That's the same for the home. So when I implement anything in my home, I'm always thinking about the five senses. Okay. What is it going to do for my sight? What is it going to do for my smell, for my, you know, taste, for touch? Because I find using that tool of my senses really helped me create an environment that just feels like I'm going on vacation, you know, because sometimes we can't afford to go on vacation. We need to have vacation at home. They call it staycation. So, no, but we can have that every day. We can have that same feeling that we get when we go on that beach every day when we walk into our home. And so that is my motivation for kind of curating a beautiful home.
Yeah, it's a safe haven. And if you're all dysregulated, like your nervous system's all chaotic and in your house, like it's going to do a number on your mental health too.
Oh, yes. And what we wake up to, right? Like when you wake up and you're able to go in your kitchen and it just feels great and it smells great and you're fixing that cup of tea and, you know, it just starts your morning out right. But if you're getting up, tripping over your shoes and, you know, stumbling over what to wear, you're already rattled before you walk out the door. It makes a big difference. Yeah,
so true. Well, Nikki, thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be in touch and have had this conversation.
Absolutely. It was wonderful, Mary. Thank you for having me.
Likewise, Nikki. Thank you for all your tools and tips on beautifully organized home and couple communication.
Yeah, absolutely.
One last thing before we farewell, my self-lovers. If you've been enjoying the Mary's Cup of Tea podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review on Apple or rate the show on Spotify. You can do this by searching for the show, Mary's Cup of Tea. Scroll all the way down on Apple Podcasts and you'll see stars where you can click one of the stars and leave a few kind words. It just means so much to me because I'm so behind the scenes when I'm podcasting, so I don't really get to see the impact of the show unless you leave a review. And on Spotify, there's just a button that says rate the show and it'll let you put however many stars you want. Your feedback helps the podcast grow, and as someone whose love language is words of affirmation, your kind words mean the world to me. Thank you so much for supporting the show and helping me spread the gift of self-love. I love you all so much, and I will talk to you in next week's episode.